title of the message today is This is What We Believe. This is what we believe. How many of you know it's important to know what you believe, especially in this day when people are believing so many things? It's important to know what you believe according to God's word. And if you look in Scripture, you'll see that there was a group of believers in the book of Acts who lived in Berea, and they were known for searching the Scriptures. Let's take a look at this, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. There's about three things I want to point out in this little passage right here, but Acts chapter 17, verse 11 and 12, and the people of Berea were more receptive than those in Thessalonica, for they welcomed the message very eagerly and examined the Scriptures every day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. And so we learn from the Bereans that, number one, they were willing to learn. They welcomed the message. We need to welcome God's word into our lives, amen, and receive it like they did. It says also that they were, number two, that they were disciplined. It says that they examined the Scriptures every day. They were in the Word. They were examining the Scriptures. They were studying the Word of God. How many of you know it's important to study the Scriptures so that you're in tune with what the Word of God says, so that when you go into a world of doubt and unbelief, you can stand strong and you can know what you believe and tell others what you believe. Amen? Amen. And the third one is they were obedient. It says that many of them believed. So they heard the word of God. They studied the Scriptures. They wanted to make sure that it was correct. And so they lined everything up with the word of God. And then they accepted it and they believed it. And they were obedient to what the word says. We have to hear the word. We have to believe the word. And we have to act upon the word in obedience. So it's important to learn the Scriptures. It's important to know what we believe. And it's important to be able to tell others what we believe. In fact, when I went to Bible college, it was one of the biggest things that they said, you are here. I learned this in my senior year, in my senior class. They had a class just for seniors, just to focus on where we were and where we were headed coming out of Bible college. But they said, you have been here for 4 years to do one thing, and that is to learn how to articulate what you believe. To learn how to say, to preach, to write what it is that you and I believe as Christians. And that was a big light bulb that went on. Oh, wow, that's why we're here? Wow. Okay. And that's why we've been writing all these papers. And that's why we've been speaking and practicing preaching and all these things, because we are learning how to speak out what we believe. Now, I want to go over what we believe as a church from our statement of faith. We went through this in Growth Track, but there's been really good conversations happening in our small groups lately about some of the doctrinal things of what we believe. I've had some good phone call conversations. I've had some good one-on-one and some small group discussions. And it's really important to know what we believe. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the Holy Scriptures. Amen? And so that's right at the top there. We believe that God's Word is our final authority. This is so important that we go to the Bible for the answers. If we don't know something about our faith, we don't know something about life, we go to the Bible, we go to the Scriptures to know how to live in this world and how to gain wisdom. It is the final authority. And by the way, those of you who are single in the house, you are praying for and looking for someone, Mr. Husband or wife, who has the Word of God as their final authority. Because when you come together, the foundation of your relationship will not only be the Lord Jesus Christ, but the foundation of your relationship will be the Word of God. And if you have issue, if you have a big question mark that comes up in life or in relationship or anything, what do? You go to the Word of God and you say, well, what does the Bible say? What does the Scriptures say about this? And then let that be the final word, the final authority. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed it out, what he wanted us to receive, and it is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Anybody ever been corrected by the Word of God? Amen, amen. For instruction in righteousness or right standing with God, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we believe in the Holy Scriptures. Amen? Amen. Amen. We believe in the Trinity. We believe that in God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe that the three are coexistent, co-eternal, and co-equal in divine perfection. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three, the Bible says, are one. These three are one. And we see this in Scripture from the beginning in the book of Genesis. Even the name Elohim in the original language has a very unique thing about it, as far as it is both singular and plural at the same time, the very makeup of the name Elohim. And it is verified in the fact that, remember, God said, let us make man in our own image. So you see in there a plurality and yet a single God at the same time. Well, we know, because it was revealed to us through Jesus Christ, what that means. And there was little glimpses here and there through the Old Testament. David called God his Father, and he said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So he had a very close relationship with God, and he saw glimpses of it. He said, kiss the Son in Psalm 2. Kiss the Son, or give him reverence. Well, he didn't understand a lot of things that were revealed to us when Jesus showed up, because Jesus showed up, and he said, when you pray, say, Our Father. And he said, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Trinity right there. And then we have it all different places throughout the New Testament where it's revealed to us. So we believe. And if you want to say things correctly, you would say, remember the old hymn, God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. That's very correct. God, one God in three persons. What is not correct to say is God has three personalities. That is not correct. I think I might have actually said that early on in my walk with the Lord, because I'm just trying to grasp this, because it is kind of difficult to grasp. It is more correct, more accurate to say God in three persons, and each person of the Trinity has distinct personality. Each person of the Trinity has a distinct personality instead of God with three personalities. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, good. All right, so we believe in the Trinity. The next one is we believe that, unfortunately, that man fell. We believe that man was created in the image of God, but by voluntary disobedience fell into the depths of sin and iniquity. And we have a sin nature, and the consequences was to all mankind and accompanied loss and intending meaning and of purpose. We lost our meaning, we lost our purpose in the fall. And Genesis 1:27 says, God created us in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. What do we see there? This goes back to the Word of God as the final authority. We see two genders here. Let's make it clear. Two genders, male and female, the Bible says. And then we see in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that therefore, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. If anyone ever tells you that, well, we're all basically good, just say, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and this verse right here, Romans 5:12, it spread to all men. The other day, Roy asked me, he said, he came up to me after service. He said, why did Adam have to and Eve had to receive that and eat that fruit? And I was like, that's the question of the ages, man. That is the question of the ages. Yeah, that's a big, you know, amen. But most likely, all of us in the same position would probably, maybe, have done the same thing. We joked in men's Bible study, except for Dale. Dale wouldn't have done it. He would have been obedient. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, anyways, but it did happen, and so here we are in this fallen world. It's horrible, isn't it? It's a mess. It's chaotic. There's problems. You have personal problems. Things shouldn't have been this way. But it helps to, when you understand the fallen condition that we're in and we're born into. We're born into a tragedy, really. But it helps when you understand that and you know that. And it also helps you to know and points you to the fact that we needed a Savior, which is the next one. The plan of redemption. This is right from our church website, by the way. The plan of redemption. We believe that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place with his life's blood, purchased the pardon for all who believe in him. And Jesus gave himself for us. Titus 2:14 says that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. All right, so Jesus paid the price for us. We believe in salvation through grace. We believe that salvation is wholly through grace and that no human righteousness or merit can contribute to our receiving God's love and favor. How many of you know that we cannot work our way to salvation? We can't do anything to gain any more favor with God than what Jesus already did before the Father. Jesus had covenant with his Father in our redemption, and it did not depend on us. Praise God. It did not depend on us. It was between a covenant between the Father and the Son, and through that, we enter into that covenant when we simply believe. When we say, yes, that's my salvation, God says, good, you're included with this. You're saved. Wow. It is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace, let's read this out loud together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Yeah, we'll just leave that there because no one's going to say, yeah, you know, I did pretty good today, and I think I might be worthy of heaven. And God says, no. Nothing that you could have done would have brought you anywhere close or near to the holiness of God. You needed a Savior, and his name is Jesus. We believe in repentance and acceptance. We believe that upon sincere repentance, that means turning away from sin, changing your mind, turning away from sin, and a wholehearted acceptance of Christ, we are justified before God through Jesus' sacrificial death. Remember, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Amen. We believe in the new birth. We believe that the change that takes place in people at conversion is a very real one. That having received righteousness in Christ and having received his Holy Spirit, people have now new desires, new interests, and pursuits in life. Let's read this out loud together. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a divine nature now. It's a little bit different than the old covenant. You have been born of the Spirit of God if you've received Jesus in your life. You have a divine nature, and that nature wants to obey God, please God, and serve God, and have faith in God, and that you have that new nature in you when you were born again. And it grieves you, and it grieves me when we sin, because we think, man, that's not who I am anymore. I have been born again. I have a new nature, and I now have a choice. Before, we didn't have a choice. We just sinned, and we couldn't do anything else. But now we have the power of God, and we have been born again of the Spirit of God. All right, we believe in the daily Christian life. We believe that it is the will of God that those who have been born again grow in sanctification, being set apart, becoming partakers of His holiness, daily growing in stronger in the faith, power, prayer, love, and service. 2 Corinthians 7:1, let's read this out loud together. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we do those good works because we've been born again. We don't do those good works to try to gain favor. We do those works because we want to love God, and we've been born again, and we're doing it out of that. So we also believe in water baptism and the Lord's Supper. We actually did the Lord's Supper today. We're going to be doing water baptism the beginning of September, September 3rd, if you're interested. I've got a couple people that are going to be baptized already, but if you want to join the water baptism, it's going to happen in September, and so you can register for that online. But we believe in being baptized. We believe in being immersed, because that's what the original word means, to be immersed, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's an essential response to Jesus' command, testifying of His Lordship, that He is King, that He is the Christ. Before I go into the next one, can I just tell you a funny story real quick? So when I was a children's pastor, I wanted to make a video to teach the kids about water baptism. So I think it must have been either a cold summer day, or I was just being really dumb and it was in the winter. But I had on a suit, and I thought, I'm going to dress all up. We're going to go out to a pool. I'm going to film what water baptism is all about. So I got a cup, a styrofoam cup. I dipped it. I said, kids, this is what, there's different kinds of churches that believe different things about water baptism. Some believe in sprinkling. So I took some water and I said, sprinkling. Some believe in pouring the water over somebody's head. I said, we believe, though, that baptism literally means that you go under the water all the way. And just then, we had planned this out. Just then, the cameraman said, do you mean like this, Pastor Robert? And pushed me, and I did the nesty plunge back into the water. Well, the problem was, when I knew the water was cold, but I didn't realize how cold it was, and I hit that water, and the breath just went right out of me. And so I looked up at him, and he's filming, and I said, yes, Josh. I remember it was Josh. Yes, Josh. And I could barely breathe. Yes, that's what it means. Thanks a lot. Okay, so cut, you know. So I get out of the pool, and I'm freezing. And Josh says to me, Pastor Robert, weren't you wearing glasses? And I said, yes. And I looked down, and they were at the deep end, all the way down. So I had to dive back in, go all the way down to the bottom, come back up in the name of Jesus, serving the Lord, yes. Hallelujah. All right. That was a little extra. That was a little extra. Okay. We believe in receiving, what's that? Can we see the video? Oh, my goodness. That's going way back, way back. You probably wouldn't even recognize me. That wasn't you. All right. So we believe in receiving communion, the broken bread and the fruit of the vine with joy and faith as we partake anew of the life and triumph of Christ's cross. This is the new covenant in my blood. Let's say this together. This is the covenant in my blood. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11:25. All right. We also believe in the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We believe that the baptism with the Holy Spirit empowers believers to exalt Jesus, to live lives of holiness, to be a witness of God's saving grace. We expect the Holy Spirit's incoming to be after the same manner in which it came on the believers in the early church in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 was the beginning of it, and then you see it all throughout the book of Acts. One thing I wanted to point out with this, we had a great question come up in our men's Bible study about initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The question was, he said, I had heard some teaching about, one thing you got to remember as well, be careful about what you're listening to as well. I mean, there's a lot of good teachers, and there's a lot of teachers about that'll give you good essential Christianity. But then when you get into subjects like this, that then you have people saying different things. And it's important to stick with the Word of God. There are two distinct experiences that we read about in the New Testament regarding the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The first is when a person accepts Christ, they are born of the Spirit of God. That's the first experience of the Holy Spirit. And the second experience, which is separate, has a different purpose, is the baptism with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of giving a believer boldness to share their faith with other people. And so it's very clear. And when you understand it that way, then it becomes very simple. If you, and a lot of times this comes from believers, pastors, teachers who have never experienced the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so in order to compensate for it, they start to make teachings and doctrines about it. For instance, one of the questions was, they had heard that the fruits of the Holy Spirit are one of the is part of the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to which I said, no, that's not. Because when you're born again of the Holy Spirit, then you start to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, right? The evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, we read in the book of Acts, throughout the whole book of Acts, what they call the initial evidence is they start speaking in a heavenly language. Okay, so there's two different distinct things happening there, and you can sum it all up with this, Luke 3:16. If you remember John 3:16, remember Luke 3:16, John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I, I'm not worthy to unloose his sandal strap. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So there is a distinction between the two. A baptism, a water baptism of repentance unto salvation, and a spiritual, spirit-filled baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, empowering believers to be a bold witness for Jesus. Does that make sense? Is that okay? And if you understand that, then it's very easy when you read scripture to not get confused. If you hear other teachings and things like that, you might get confused. So anyways, all right. So then we have Acts chapter 1, verse 5, and John, there it is again, John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is Jesus talking, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. There's the reason. There's the purpose. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. All right, and the end of the earth. All right. We believe in the Spirit-filled life. We believe, everybody still with me now? You guys still with me? We believe that it is the will of God that believers walk in the Spirit moment by moment, serving the Lord and living lives of patience, love, truth, sincerity, and prayer. Let's read this out loud together, Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Anybody give in to their flesh this last week? Show of hands. All right. Those hands that just went up are all the honest people. Now let's see, show of hands, all the people lying. No, just kidding. Okay. I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't mean to embarrass, point out people. All right. Okay. We believe in the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know what's so awesome about this? I don't know if you knew this, but the fruit, there are 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We learned some of the Sunday school songs. Did you know that there are also 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? There's 9 fruit and there's 9 gifts. I don't know why that God chose that, but they're 2 identical numbers. We believe that the Holy Spirit bestows enabling ministry gifts upon believers and that these gifts will build up the body of Christ through edification and evangelism. That's the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. And as evidence of a Spirit-filled life, believers should show spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and meekness, and temperance. By the way, let me just say something with this too. If a person gets baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us to be daily filled with the Holy Spirit, do you think that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is going to be ramped up a little bit? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I had to take us through this journey, but yeah, it'll be ramped up. More love because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. More joy. Yeah. More peace, more patience, all that stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. There's many evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. So everybody got that good? Okay. We believe in moderation. We believe a Christian's moderation should be obvious to others, and the relationship with Jesus should never lead people into extremes of fanaticism. Their lives should model that of Christ in uprightness, balance, humility, self-sacrifice. Let's read this together. Philippians 4:5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. All right, we don't believe in extremes, or mainly what I see in that a lot of times, especially in Pentecostal circles, is don't draw attention to yourself. When we're all supposed to be worshiping and concerted effort, there's a flow of the worship service. Don't stick out so everyone's watching you. Things can get in the flesh really fast. But stay in the Holy Spirit. Listen to the worship leader. If he's saying lift up your hands, go in the flow of, if he's saying shout, you know those times when it's time to shout, or the music's loud and you feel like shouting, do it. Yeah, amen. But to have a song, a slow, soft song where you can feel it's calm and quiet, and all of a sudden you're shouting out loud and everyone's looking over at you, or you're dancing in the room, and it's like, no, that's not the right time. That's not the right time. So not giving in to the flesh when it comes to the things of God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, we believe in divine healing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We believe that divine healing is the power of Jesus Christ to heal the sick in answer to the prayer of faith. He who does not change is still willing and able to heal the body as well as the soul and the spirit in answer to faith in Jesus Christ. I was telling our prayer team yesterday, years ago, we had a healing service here at the church with Pastor Bob. By the way, he had a rough week, and he went through surgery, and he's out, and he's doing great. So keep Pastor Bob in your... He's our founding pastor, and he pastors over at Foursquare Church over in Penryn. But he was leading a healing service here at the church years ago, and a young man came to the service with his mom who had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. And he's sitting in the back next to his mom. His mom brought him there because she wanted her son to get healed. And while we're in the service, God's presence is so strong there. People are falling out under the power of God. It is amazing what's happening in the place. All of a sudden, that young man, I want to say he was probably like early teens, maybe even younger. Yeah, probably early teens. Leans over to his mom and says, "Mom, I just felt a warmth come over my head." He said, "I think I've been healed." And so they went forward and were prayed over. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor confirmed it. He is completely healed. That brain tumor is gone. And he, amen, amen. And so she gave a testimony over, we have it on video over at Parkside. That young man, Josh, it was so like, they thought it was done. He thought he was done. And they put him on Make-A-Wish. They went on a trip to Israel because they thought his life was done. He was healed. They went to Israel anyway. And completely fine. He just saw online, got married. And this has happened probably, I want to say, a good 10 years ago. Completely healed by the power of God. Amen. Amen. So you believe God for your miracle, your healing in Jesus' name, because God is able, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. That's James 5:15. Amen? Amen. Amen. Don't doubt it. If you ever get tripped up with doubt, kick it out. It rhymes. I know it rhymes. Kick it out. Take authority over that doubt, and get filled with the Word of God, and believe him for a miracle. We believe in the second coming of Christ. We believe the second coming of Christ is personal and imminent. It could happen at any moment. The certainty of his coming and the fact that no man knows the hour of his coming prompt our evangelistic efforts, and the Lord himself will descend from heaven. The dead in Christ will rise first, and the redeemed will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so if you look at, let's read this out loud, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. This is actually the catching away, what they call the rapture of the church. It's all group. It is a part of the second coming, whether you believe in pre, mid, or post-rapture, tribulation. Some people ask me, what do you believe, pre, mid, or post? I say yes. But I am very pre, because I want to get out of here when that stuff starts coming down. I am very pre. Dave and I are very pre tribulation second. Amen. Anybody else pre? Yes. Let's get out of here. Amen. Amen. We believe it, Lord. We believe it. We believe it. And so let's read this out loud together. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Church relationship. We believe that it is our sacred duty to identify ourselves with a congregation of believers with whom we can worship God, observe the ordinances of Christ, exhort and support one another, labor for the salvation of others, amen, and work together to advance the Lord's kingdom, amen. That's why we do Growth Track, is to, if you want to be a part of what's happening here, if you want to be committed to a local body of believers, take Growth Track and join the team, and let's do this together in your gifting and what God has given you and your talents, gifts, and abilities. So Acts 16:5, let's read this out loud together. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Amen. Strengthen our church, Lord. Strengthen our church and strengthen all the churches in this area, in our Auburn community, and in the churches throughout the nation. We need the church to be strengthened in Jesus' name. So somebody put a card for in our lobby promoting another church. I think that's just so funny. It's like, and it's a church plant. I'm like, I'm all for it, okay? I just think it's so funny to, I'll go visit another church and put my card there. Okay, all right, whatever. Okay. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Amen. Okay. All right, so civil government. We believe that civil government is by divine appointment and that civil laws should be upheld at all times, except in things opposed to the will of God. If you look at Acts 4:18, so they called them and commanded them, the disciples, not to speak or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. Do you think they listened to that? No. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. And we're not going to stop in this nation either. This nation belongs to Jesus. Amen? Amen. And it's a nation of, by, and for the people. And so we're going to stand up and preach the word and preach the gospel and love people into the kingdom. Amen. Amen. All right. And if a judge tells you you need to do something as a believer and it's against the word of God, tell them, no, sorry, I'm following Jesus. I'm following Jesus no matter what. All right. Judgment. We believe that all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The redeemed shall be delivered into everlasting life, and the unrepentant into everlasting punishment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you know that that word judgment there is bema, or some pastors will say bema because it's spelled B-E-M-A, but I think it's more correct to say bema. B-A-Y-M-A is the pronunciation, bema, seat of Christ. And it was an elevated place where the judge would sit in a community. In fact, when Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, they had in the town square, the main row there, and I think it's actually still there, they have the bema seat is still there to this day. It's a place where people would come if they had disputes, and the judge would sit on that seat and judge, just like we have judges today. But the Bible says that all of us will appear as believers before the bema seat of Christ. And you say, well, are we going to be judged there whether we're going to be saved or not? No, we're already saved because of the blood of Jesus. That's been taken care of. When we go before this judgment for the believer, it will be the one where the things that we've done for Christ will last. Those things will become gems in our crown, I believe. And anything that wasn't done for Christ will just be burned like the hay, the wood, and the stubble that it talks about in Scripture. So it's a judgment basically of rewards and not of whether or not you're going to heaven. That's already been determined when you accept Christ, okay? All right. So 2 Corinthians 5:10, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. All right? We believe in heaven, and it's looking greater every moment, right? Heaven, we believe that heaven is the glorious habitation of the living God and that the eternal home of born-again believers. Therefore, they are before, Revelation says, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne and will dwell among them, they will neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. No more need for a sunblock, or you won't get a sunburn in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? What's a sunburn? That's what we're going to say. What's a sunburn? I forgot. You may need to wear some sunglasses because of the glory that, you know, of God, right? We may still need those. But I did a list one time early on when I started preaching here of all the things that won't be in heaven. All the medications and all the bad things we have to deal with won't be in heaven. It's a wonderful list to look at and go, oh, thank God. Thank God that we don't have to deal with that anymore. Amen. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. We're all looking forward to that place, right? And we thank God that we don't have to go to this place called hell. We believe that hell is a place of darkness, deeper sorrow, unquenchable fire, which was not prepared for man, but it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Yet it will become the place of eternal separation from God for all who reject Christ as Savior. Revelation 20, verse 10 and 15. Let's read this out loud together. Let's declare this. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we don't want to go there. Amen. Amen. We accept Jesus. And if you haven't accepted him, accept him today when I give the invitation. It's your day. It is your day to do that. Amen. Because you don't want to go to this place. Amen. And God has reserved that place for people who reject him. And that was one of the questions I had early on in my life is, why would a loving God send people to hell? And the answer was given to me straight. People send themselves there because they reject. We live in a place of choice. And if you reject God's love and who he is, then you have to be separated from him. And there's punishment for rejecting him. So the choice is yours. Choice is ours. All right? We're almost at the end. I got two more. Are you still with? I didn't realize how long. Did I really go long? Are you okay? Is everyone okay? Okay. For another hour, you're okay? No, just kidding. Okay. Evangelism. We believe that soul winning is the one big business of the church on earth, and that every hindrance to worldwide evangelism should be removed. Let's read this out loud together. Mark 16. We declare this. Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Amen. And the last one, tithes and offerings. We believe that tithing and offerings are ordained of God to sustain his ministry, spread the gospel, and release personal blessing. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. Let's read this out loud together. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper." Amen. Amen. So we believe in tithing. It's God's way of causing believers to put God first and trust him in their finances. And it is also to make ministry happen, provided for by, it's like we have a place to go to. We have a place to worship. We are able to reach our community and reach the world through missions, through tithes and offerings. It's God's plan. It's God's way of blessing the believer, and it's God's way of blessing and causing his ministry to happen. All right?